Today is Thursday, March 21st. We're talking about how the Federal Reserve's latest interest rate decision impacts your money and the strictest climate rules ever enacted for the American auto industry. Also, the happiest countries ranked. We'll tell you where the U.S. stands, and hint, it's pretty far down the list. Plus, Reddit's highly anticipated Wall Street debut, a gambling scandal involving an interpreter for the MLB's biggest superstar, and a star-studded tribute on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Those stories and even more news to know next. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. The Federal Reserve decided to leave the benchmark interest rate right where it is, unchanged, for its fifth straight meeting. The decision was expected since recent data has shown prices are still rising at a faster pace than the Fed would like, aka inflation hasn't gone down enough. That said, the Fed did still hint that three interest rate cuts are still possible this year. For now, though, the Fed won't confirm an exact timeline for those potential cuts, saying it all depends on how the economy shakes out. Regardless, it means Americans will need to wait until at least the Fed's June meeting, or even later, for the first rate cut since March of 2020. That was back when the central bank slashed rates to near zero due to the pandemic. In other words, for the next couple of months at least, borrowing costs are staying high, impacting everything from credit card rates to mortgages to car loans. LendingTree says these days the average APR on a new credit card is nearly 25%, marking the 24th month out of the last 25 months when APRs have increased. And some credit cards may increase their APRs even more after this week's announcement. On the bright side, Americans with high-interest savings accounts can really take advantage of the returns. Investors seem to be happy as well about the potential for future cuts. Stocks jumped after the announcement yesterday. It's said to be one of the most significant climate regulations in American history, and it could transform the American auto industry forever. The Biden administration finalized a rule designed to ensure most new passenger cars and trucks sold in the U.S. are all electric or hybrids by the year 2032. The goal is to have 56% of American car sales be electric, even though they made up less than 8% of car sales last year. Another 13% of new cars sold would be plug-in hybrids. The Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, decided to let automakers ease into the rule more slowly than it originally planned, since right now, legacy automakers are actually making more money on their gas-powered cars and have decided to slow down their EV production to reflect slower-than-expected consumer demand. But the EPA still says the regulation will make a huge difference, helping the U.S. avoid more than 7 billion tons of carbon dioxide emissions a year and make Americans healthier. Now, to be clear, the new rule still does not ban the sale of new gas cars. Instead, an automaker can still make higher emissions vehicles as long as it also makes enough very low or zero emission vehicles, so it averages out. EVs do tend to have higher price tags than gas-powered vehicles, but the gap has been narrowing, and in some cases, federal tax credits make up the difference. The EPA also says the new rules will actually save Americans a lot of money over time. But on the other side, as you might imagine, the most vocal opponent of this regulation is the oil industry. The American Petroleum Institute has said it threatens consumer freedom, energy reliability, and national security. And the Texas Attorney General previously filed a lawsuit to challenge the EPA's authorities to set these rules. Many oil trade groups back Texas in that case. But the auto industry sided with the EPA, saying car makers are investing billions of dollars into going electric since reducing greenhouse gas emissions is a national priority. Eventually, the fate of this rule may have to be decided by the U.S. Supreme Court. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is on his sixth trip to the Middle East now since the war in Gaza broke out. And once again, he's hoping to convince Israel to ease up on the fighting while still defeating Hamas. Blinken will also talk about a post-conflict plan that the U.S. is hoping will lead to a two-state solution, despite Prime Minister Netanyahu's objections. Plus, Blinken is still talking about securing the release of Israeli hostages taken by Hamas and getting more Palestinian aid into Gaza. State Department officials don't expect major breakthroughs to come out of this visit. They really just want to advance the discussions. It comes as fighting has grown more intense in recent days in northern Gaza. Overall, Gaza health authorities say nearly 32,000 Palestinians have been confirmed killed since the war began in October. Blinken is meeting with Arab leaders and foreign ministers today, and then will be in Tel Aviv tomorrow. Then a high-level Israeli delegation will be visiting the U.S. next week. The U.S. has fallen out of the top 20 happiest countries for the first time. Once again, data was collected in the Gallup World Poll for the World Happiness Report. People in more than 140 countries answered questions about the overall satisfaction with their lives. Plus, the study takes into account things like GDP, social support, healthy life expectancy, freedom, and more. Well, now, Americans overall rank 23rd in happiness, down from 15th just a year ago. One of the main reasons for America's drop is the overall unhappiness in younger people. In fact, the report says people younger than 30 are now the least happy age group. That's a big change from 2006 to 2010, when the young were among the happiest. The survey did not ask people to give reasons for their happiness levels, but researchers behind the report did mention an epidemic of loneliness and its impact on mental and physical health. Some experts also believe there's other factors playing into it, like polarization over social issues and economic inequality that makes it hard for young people to afford their own homes. If you just look at people under 30, the U.S. actually ranks 62nd on the list. But when you look at people 60 and older, the U.S. ranks in the top 10. As for the happiest countries overall, Nordic nations dominate the top of the list once again. Finland came in first, followed by Denmark, Iceland, and Sweden. We have more news for you still ahead. But first, support for this episode comes from Honeylove. It's time to spring clean our closets. And if you do nothing else, get those essentials upgraded. For me, I know I'm putting all of my Honeylove items in the keep pile and front and center in my drawer because they are next level comfortable and cute. I mean, we all know that feeling when you get home from a long day and immediately want to get into your pajamas. With Honeylove, you won't have to experience that again because their items are so comfortable, you'll forget you're wearing them. For the ladies listening, Honeylove's crossover bra gives you the comfort and support you need, but with the feeling, quality, and look you want. And that's true whether you're wearing Honeylove's shapewear and bras or their leggings and loungewear. And speaking of leggings, you all know Honeylove's Legging 2.0 is still my favorite leggings to wear. I wear them literally every week, if not every day. So treat yourself to the best bras and more on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/newsworthy. And after you purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it. Okay, now back to the news. President Biden announced one of the biggest federal investments in U.S. chip manufacturing. He granted tech giant Intel with up to $8.5 billion to help pay for new plants in Arizona, New Mexico, Ohio, and Oregon. The idea is to boost American manufacturing and address growing geopolitical tensions with China by propping up an industry that's become especially critical. Much of the world's chip production has shifted to Asia in recent decades, and now the U.S. is making just about 10% of the world's global supply, and none of the most advanced kind of chips that are needed for artificial intelligence. But the Intel grant is supposed to help drive a comeback. Overall, Intel is expected to invest more than $100 billion in U.S. projects over the next 5 years. It should create more than 10,000 Intel jobs, plus nearly 20,000 construction jobs. Other chip makers have also applied for grants worth tens of billions of dollars, and those awards are expected to be announced soon. The money is all coming from the CHIPS and Science Act that passed Congress with bipartisan support a couple of years ago. Reddit raised hundreds of millions of dollars in its initial public offering this week. This is the first social media IPO since Pinterest went public back in 2019. And to kick things off, Reddit gave its most active users a chance to become shareholders. Remember, on a basic level, an IPO just means the company is starting to trade on a stock exchange, going from private to public ownership. It also gives Reddit more money in the bank to grow its business. The stock will actually begin trading on the New York Stock Exchange this morning under the ticker symbol RDDT. Shares are priced at $34 apiece. The man who's been called the best player in Major League Baseball seems to have been victim to a major scam. Shohei Ohtani's interpreter and close friend is accused of stealing millions of dollars from the Japanese baseball star for illegal gambling. He didn't make bets on baseball, but sports gambling of any kind is still illegal in California. And the interpreter allegedly made bets on soccer, basketball, and football with an illegal bookmaker using Ohtani's money. The interpreter was fired this week. So far, he has not been charged with a crime, but is said to be the target of a federal investigation. Legendary hip-hop producer Dr. Dre received his Hollywood Walk of Fame star this week, and he brought out a crowd so large that Hollywood Boulevard had to shut down for a little while during the ceremony. It wasn't just fans, either. Snoop Dogg, Eminem, and 50 Cent were all there to pay tribute, along with many others. Snoop even broke out into a rap for the occasion. Of course, Dre first found fame as a founding member of the rap group N.W.A. Then he made a name for himself as a solo artist and as president of Death Row Records. Dre went on to found Aftermath Records, where he was one of rap's most sought-after producers. Later, he had a second act as founder and CEO of Beats Electronics. And in the last decade, Dre was focused on giving back, donating $70 million to USC and another $10 million to Compton High School. That's it for the main news today, so now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday. But first, this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I know you value your time, and that's one of the many reasons you listen to this podcast. You want to be informed and efficient. Because, let's face it, we are all busy. I know personally, between work and family, there's only so much time left for myself. And then when I do get maybe an hour just for me, I sometimes question how exactly I should use it. If you've ever wondered that, therapy can help you really find what matters most to you so you can do more of it. And maybe you need some guidance to set boundaries and just find that time in the first place. I know therapy has helped me anytime I feel overwhelmed, burnt out, or unsure. It's so nice to have that guidance that actually makes me feel better and gives me long-term strategies to be my best self. If you're thinking of starting therapy but aren't sure how or where to start, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's flexible and convenient, suited around your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newsworthy today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to Thing to Know Thursday. So in the U.S., demand for electricity has started to surge. As the New York Times reports, over the past year, electric utilities have nearly doubled their forecast for how much extra power they'll need by the year 2028. This comes as more data centers are being built, new federal laws are encouraging a boom in manufacturing, and millions of electric vehicles are being plugged in. An analysis by consulting firm Grid Strategies says peak demand in the summer is expected to go up by 38,000 megawatts nationwide in the next 5 years. That's like adding another California to the grid. To meet spiking demand, utilities in states like Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia want to build dozens more power plants over the next 15 years. There are also cleaner alternatives like wind and solar power, but as the Times points out, they're not growing fast enough to keep up with demand and can get bogged down by delayed permits and slow supply chains. And the North American Electric Reliability Corporation says if more power is not brought online soon, large portions of the country could risk blackouts. Though environmentalists and other groups argue in some cases, the future demand growth is overestimated. And they're challenging utility plans around the U.S. to look for more green alternatives to traditional power plants. So expect to see this debate come up a lot in courtrooms for months or even years to come. All right, thank you so much for listening today. Be sure to tell a friend about the Newsworthy if you haven't lately. Helping us grow our community of listeners is one of the best ways you can support our work. And or become a Newsworthy Insider for ad-free episodes. Learn more at thenewsworthy.com/insider. And a big thank you to all of our current supporters. We'll catch you up on more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.